And now, it's time for the Talk of the Northwest, the 9 to noon show with Greg Hughes on Highland Radio.
Hello and a very good morning to you. We're at Thursday, it's the 26th of June 2025, and I do hope you're well. How are you keeping? It is the 9 to noon show for the next 3 hours. We've got a great mix of analysis of the latest news stories, platforming matters that are important to you and hearing your views as well. And I invite them via WhatsApp or text to 086 6025000. We have people text reasonably regularly, and those of you that text for the first time every morning, and it's great to have you forming part of the conversation. Everyone's views are equal here. If you want to send WhatsApp voice notes, you can use that number as well, by the way, 086 6025000. Caroline and Shannon are taking your calls on 07491 25000, and the email's always there, comments at highlandradio.com. just to remind you, of course, if you listen to the podcast or overnight, feel free to email or WhatsApp for that matter, and we can pick up your comments and carry them into the next live show. And if you want to watch the programme, we're on YouTube, Facebook and on the X platform. The paper's out this morning. We'll start with the Tyrconnell Tribune, and they've got an analysis of the Chrysler project, the planning awarded by Donegal County Council being overturned by On Commission Plenála, formerly On Ball Plenála. The restrictions within the new national planning guidelines have seen On Commission Plenála refuse an application for the rebuilding of a shop and filling station in Chrysler. 10 people, as we know, lost their lives there on October the 7th, 2022. Well, last year, as concerns grew about the restrictions in the new laws, local politicians expressed fears that the N56 from the mountain top to Letterkenny to Killybegs could become a sterile zone for planning and development. On Commission Plenála has also clarified that in order to protect the carrying capacity of strategic routes, new petrol filling stations requiring direct access onto such routes will not be considered outside the 60-kilometre speed limit. At local level, these concerns were raised by councillors Michael McClafferty and Liam Blaney in Lifford, while Piers Doherty addressed the issue in the Dáil in November. And there's, as I say, quite a detailed analysis of all of that on the front of and inside that paper today. The Donegal News this morning: a preschool owner who had to close the doors of her service after nearly two decades because the building it operated out of is being sold, has said more strain will now be put on a sector already under pressure. Tanya Roberts-Brown was the very proud owner of Rainbow's Preschool in Carrigart, which was a home from home to 16 children this year. It shut its doors for the final time on June 17th, despite a tireless search for other suitable premises in Carrigart in a bid to keep the much-loved preschool open. None were found. The Derry News this morning: zero respite provision for young people with disabilities. Catherine McGinty writes that there is currently zero respite provision for children and young people with disabilities in the Western Health and Social Care Trust's northern sector. Parents and guardians were informed of the situation at a private meeting with the Trust's children's disability managers held in Derry's Destined Centre last Wednesday morning. On to the Nationals, and of course, anyone out on the road, if you're driving, of course, takes a strong interest in petrol and diesel prices. They seem to have gone up in certain places, whether that's new deliveries or what have you over recent times. But motor fuel prices have gone up again, heaping more pressure on motorists who are already dealing with increases in living costs. The cost of a litre of petrol and diesel are up at 1 cent each, according to the June AA Ireland Fuel Price Survey. Prices were also up last month. The AA said that the rise in prices may be modest, but the increase adds further pressure to motorists already managing the high cost of living. Well, I saw petrol stations increase prices by much more than a cent. Electric vehicle charging prices, however, remain stable. So petrol now costs an average of 1.77 per litre, up 1 cent since last month. Diesel has risen to an average of 1.69 per litre. But again, I've seen diesel at 1.77 a litre, and I've seen diesel at 1.58 a litre. Now, I know 1.69 is an average, but it goes to show different service stations enjoy different profit margins per litre on the petrol and the diesel. I mean, obviously, there's a little bit of stability now in oil markets. Whether they go up or down from here on in remains to be seen what happens in the Middle East. What we do know, whether people like to admit it or not, is prices go up quick and come down slow. In terms of building the houses that we need in this country, there's many, many factors that makes making targets actually almost a fool's errand. We've talked about infrastructure extensively on this show, lack of water, power, etc. But also, too, in terms of getting people to build houses, we have a massive shortage of skilled workers. And all workers are skilled, in my view, but you know what I mean, to actually construct the houses that are required. How many workers are we short? Well, according to the Irish Daily Mail, and they're quoting the ESRI, Ireland will need an extra 80,000 workers to build the houses needed and to complete the enormously ambitious national development plan at the same time. That is according to the ESRI. So where are those workers going to come from? They're probably going to have to come from abroad. Well, if they do, where are they going to live? Where are they going to live while they're building the houses that everybody else needs? You know, total employment is already expected to increase by 40,000, but the economy will need twice the number to deliver National Development Plan projects. Those projects include the Metrolink to Dublin Airport, the Dart extension, and investments in renewable energy and energy efficiency. However, the ESRI economic think tank described achieving such a surge in workers during a period of high employment as inconceivable in the short term. The economy is expected to grow by 4.6% and exports by 5.4% this year. Next year, economic growth forecast is to grow by 2.9% and exports by 3.3%. However, the ASRI warned if trade wars between the US and its trading partners intensify, this forecast will need to be revised downwards. Listen, we all know they're probably going to settle on 10%. That's the bottom line. Donald Trump needs to do business and he needs America to be able to do business. He's achieved compromise tariffs with other parts of the world and he'll do the exact same with the EU. That's just a given. The war is not a war. It's he lays out his starting point. Whomever is laying that out to as their starting point, and they generally meet somewhere in the middle that's agreeable to all. On to the world news section of the Irish Times, and staying with Donald Trump, the 32 leaders of the NATO military alliance have signed a unanimous agreement to commit 5% of national output to defence and related infrastructure in a pact German Chancellor Friedrich Merz described as historic. At the culmination of a two-day summit in The Hague, the commitment was matched by strong reassurances from US President Donald Trump that the US, in turn, continued to support mutual defence among the allies as set out in Article 5 of the NATO Charter. So effectively means if there was an attack on one member of NATO, it's attack on all, and every arm of NATO would respond to that. But I was listening to an interview with Vladimir Putin recently, and he proposed something which I thought was really quite interesting. He said that, say, for instance, things escalated in the EU and the Russians dropped a major bomb, you know, like a nuclear bomb or a tactical nuke in Paris, for an example, and flattened Paris. Let's just say that is hypothetical. He questioned whether or not Donald Trump, even though there is a NATO pact there, he questioned whether Donald Trump would get involved. He said, effectively, and I'm paraphrasing, you know, why would Donald Trump on a far-flung part of the world, or any president for that matter, risk being attacked by Russia because France was bombed? Now, I know they've agreed that, but I just wonder if that were tested. And I was thinking, you know what, America first, you know, why would they get involved? Why would they put a target on their back for nuclear weapons from Russia or some of their colleagues, for an example? And I was thinking, you know what, he could be right in that one. I can see America trying to wiggle out of getting involved in a European war, even though the NATO agreement commits that they must. All right, the Irish Farmers Journal. There's been a surge in the number of finishing units slaughtering thousands of cattle annually, Irish Farmer Journal analyst has revealed. 17 finishing units slaughtered over 5,000 cattle each in 2024. The number of units finishing between 3,000 and 5,000 cattle almost double between 2022 and 2024, rising from 14 units in 22 to 25 units last year. Many of these large finishing units are factory aligned or factory owned, and their stock numbers far exceed the average number of 38 cattle slaughtered per finisher herd. Meanwhile, at the other end of the scale, the number of farmers finishing up to 25 cattle continues to decline. Last year, there were 15,176 fewer farmers finishing up to 25 cattle compared to 2012. It does feel, for the smaller farmer, a bit of a sunset in industry. Right, you might know that the National Children's Hospital is continuing to be constructed, and it has to be named. So what would you call it? You know, I mean, firstly, I'll give you two scenarios and you can see if you can come up with a name. National Children's Hospital, the National Children's Hospital, because that's exactly what it is, right? And it's located in Ireland, okay? So it's not in France or Germany or England. So what would you call it? Would you call it the National Children's Hospital Ireland? Well, if you'd have come up with that, you could have been given €4,500, because the cost of the government, €4,500 to name the new children's hospital, the National Children's Hospital Ireland. This was one of 17 names suggested with the support of Specialist Branding Agency for the beleaguered facility in Dublin. It's expected to open in June 2026 and, in the best case scenario, will cost at least £2.2 billion, Health Minister Jennifer Carr-McNeill said. So, €4,500 to call it the National Children's Hospital Ireland. And I got nothing for calling this the 9 till noon show. Nothing. Right, on to the Irish Daily Star now. And Pope Leo XIV has affirmed that priests must be celibate and insisted that bishops take firm and decisive action to deal with sex abusers. Leo yesterday met in St. Peter's Basilica with about 400 bishops and cardinals from 38 countries attending the this week's special Holy Year celebrations for clergy, a day after he gave an uplifting message of encouragement to young seminarians. Leo offered a more comprehensive outline of what bishops must do to lead their flocks. History's first American pope reaffirmed that the primary role of bishops is to forge unity in his diocese among clergy and to be close to the flock in word and deed. Bishops must live in poverty and simplicity, he said, which is interesting. But certainly the church is not going to go in a different direction on celibacy under Pope Leo's watch, it would seem. And finally, MEP Sean Kelly has opened the door on a tilt at the presidency, but he admitted the crazy 7-year term is putting him off, which is a fair enough point. 7 years is a long time, isn't it? Michael D. Higgins will leave Ayres an Uachtaráin in November after 14 years in the role, with November 11th the latest date an election can be held. Former Vice President of the European Parliament, Mairead McGuinness, is the first front-runner to bag the Fine Gael nomination. However, former GEA boss Kelly could make it a two-horse race. Interesting. I think Mairead McGuinness is going to end up getting it for Fine Gael. We shall see, though Sean Kelly is a popular chap. But I think he's right. 7 years, it should be aligned with the Dáil and what have you. Then again, you know, I think maybe it's time we looked at, or is it time, I ask, you know, this someone being elected as a TD forever, effectively, if they continue to get the votes, is that the right way? Maybe there should be a term on that. Maybe you should be limited to two terms as a TD, freshen it up, give someone else a chance, either within a party or outside of a party. You know, I mean, are you going to start getting stale after a couple of terms? You know, you're bedded in, the money's made. You probably have a couple of pensions, 3 or 4, maybe even 5 pensions in the bag at that stage. Is it time maybe that we have, you know, a couple of terms for TDs and let other people have a crack and maybe reduce the presidency from 7 years to 5? Any views on any of that to 086 60 25000 or feel free to give us a call too on 074 91 25000. Now, Letterkenny Chambers echoed the national call to action from Chambers Ireland for delivering the state's key infrastructure. Letterkenny Chambers' submission to the National Development Plan 2026 to 2035 renews calls for the immediate delivery of delayed Donegal Route, the 10T project, prioritised housing delivery to unlock growth and address workforce shortages. Jimmy Stafford's the Letterkenny Chamber president and he joins me on the programme now. Good morning, Jimmy.
Good morning, Greg. How are you doing?
Not too bad, not too bad. I mean, like, if I were a government TD listening to this, I would say, well, the 10T project, you know, we can timeline it now. It is progressing. And the provision of housing is a national strategy and it's all gone blazing to deliver on that. So is there anything sort of specific that you think the government needs to step up on and prioritise?
I think our statement today, Greg, is on the back of Chambers Ireland, have also come out today across the country, because the submissions to the National Development Plan are due tomorrow. So I suppose the key one for us is around, I suppose it's delivery and it's action rather than ambition would be the two words we've used, Greg. So it's kind of, you know, recently at the President's Lunch, we would have outlined some of that to say, you know, I suppose you look at things like the 10T and the A5, as we've been discussing all week on your own programme, that it's kind of, can we get specifics now around dates and start delivering? I suppose at a time when you are seeing economic growth in the country, and I suppose now is the time to invest. And I suppose, Greg, on top of that, we specifically talk about the North West and being one of the regions, I suppose, the most underinvested regions in, you know, we're 234 out of 260-odd in Europe. In the, as John Daly would say, we're in the transition period or the bottom of the relegation zone. So, like, it's that whole area, as you outlined at the start, it's 10T, it's those delivering the infrastructure, which is key for us. So it's getting into specifics now, Greg, and I suppose it's trying to get timelines and all that.
Yeah, workforce shortages, what is the issue and how do you think that could be addressed? I know this is a job for government, don't get me wrong, but I suppose you're polling, you know, the membership of the Chamber and beyond. So what are the workforce shortages and how might we address those, I wonder?
I guess, you know, again, being discussed, housing is the key one. So when you talk to any of the employers around Donegal, you know, when they talk to potential employees who are going to come to Donegal, where do you live? And I suppose that's, you know, even further, Greg, by the micro crisis that's in Donegal and beyond, that you have a shortage of housing. That's the first thing that every employer does in our surveys is housing and lack of. And then you link that again to infrastructure, Greg, and across both the water, electric and that sort of stuff. So they're the key challenges that we just don't have enough houses at the moment. And I hear this morning the ESRI have come out and said, you know, the numbers that are projected to be built this year are even less again that have been projected. So that would be the number one challenge. And I suppose if you're going to, and again, if you look at some of the multinationals we have working in Donegal or employing in Donegal, when they go to look for employees outside of Ireland, one of the key challenges is, where do I live? And I suppose, Greg, every county is suffering that, but specifically, I suppose, the North West, we'd be up there in that, again, in the top of that bracket as the number one issue.
Mm-hmm. What does a regional stimulus package look like?
What does the package look like? I think it's specifically around the North West, and coming back to what we said and John Daly on his economic stats, and again, when you start reading his stats, that the North West, and you specifically look further north of the Northwest, as I call it, because Galway's included in that as well, Greg, is that specifically we need a stimulus package for the Northwest from Europe and from government. And that again comes back to infrastructure and comes back to things like water, comes back to things like, and we use a word called positive discrimination, Greg, and it's kind of a way of saying you got to look specifically at the Northwest, you got to look at the infrastructure there, around roads, around water, around electric and all that sort of stuff. And that's and years ago that would have been done as well. And I think that's something we've been asking for as a chamber.
Yeah, okay. And as you say, though, these are issues that are in every part of the country, and it's the struggle is trying to get, I suppose, positive discrimination would be one thing, but even a fair share might be another.
Mm. I think so. And look, the word we use is delivery. Like, that's the key one, and it's not just plans. And I think, you know, even at a board level, when we sit down at a board of 17 represent a lot of different diverse businesses, one of the key things is accountability and a timeline, which I talked about at the start. And it's kind of saying, like, when will we have something? And an example would be, for us, would be the likes of the Market Square, which has been talked about. I know it's gone to tender at this stage. So, again, whilst it's a small thing, it would be lovely to say, you know, there'll be a digger on the ground in September, October. So it's kind of asking those questions, how can we have specifics? And whilst that's a smaller project in the bigger scheme of things, it's just an example where you'd like to see things move along and have specific dates and timelines. So that word delivery is one of the things that we would use in the statement today. And Chambers Ireland have used that as well.
Okay, good stuff. Thank you very much indeed. That's the Letterkenny Chamber President Jimmy Stafford there. Some emails here. Brendan emailed to say, water outages throughout Inishowen enters its second day, leaving hundreds of homes without supply. An Irish Water issued no advanced warning. Home help teams report patients suffering anxiety and distress and uncertainty of supply for essential activities like in-house medical care, example, afraid to flush toilets, etc. Yeah, Inishowen seems to get an awful hammering. And a note just, I'll focus on Karen Donna. I mean, they said, Irish Water said, they put an update up saying they're aware of an issue in Carn Donna and that it would be fixed on, not last night, but the night before at 10 p.m. It still was off yesterday morning, but there's never an update. It's they give this sort of notional return, time, and then nothing comes of it. And there's no further details. And people contact me and say, Greg, what's the story with the water in Carn Donna? I check with Irish Water, Ishk Éireann, and it says... a certain time, but that time passes, but there's no further updates and you can't get any more information. Right, okay, we had Young Fine Gael on yesterday, yep, and they referenced, the gentleman referenced tax on booze and cigs, actually, which I thought, well, that's a strange one. It's not very attractive. Yep, alcohol and cigarettes, essential items, have to laugh. Young Fine Gael should demand... for a cost manager in every section of the public sector. No wonder how they're carry out. No wonder how a carry out has gone up in price. Okay, and loads more. I'll get to them in a moment. But our next guest is waiting to join me in studio. Okay, in studio with me now is John McLaughlin, the Chief Executive of Donegal County Council, because Donegal County Council will join local authorities across Ireland tomorrow to mark the Council's Day, or your Council's Day, a national campaign promoting the vital work of city and county councils and the people behind the services that support our communities every day. And it's a big team, John. Good morning to you, by the way. It's a big team working with Donegal County Council. And, I mean, often, you know, we hear what councillors, the issues they're raising, or what the public is raising, but there's a big team there working away, keeping the county ticking over all of the time.
Yeah, good morning, Greg, and I'll start with a big team. We have about 1,200 employees in Donegal County Council. I just might add, just in the heard Jimmy Stafford talking about employment, we're short of employees too, and we're a good place to work. So I'd encourage people to apply to us. We're probably short between 60 and 100 employees today. Good jobs, good careers in Donegal County Council. And particularly if people looking for a 20, 30, 40 year career, we're a good place. So just look us up and we're online. People can get that. And we're always encouraging people to come here and people return to work in Donegal as well.
Is there anything there that would seem like a natural fit for me?
I think so. We've been looking at it a bit now and it'll take another little bit longer.
Okay, have a look. See if there's anything I can squeeze into.
Yeah.
So how many jobs did you say are available at the moment within the council?
We're short about between 60 and 100 most days.
And we're looking
to grow and do more things as well.
Yeah, so those positions are there, they're funded, and it's just getting the right candidates to fill them.
Correct, yeah.
Wow, okay. That's quite impressive. That's like a decent percentage of your total workforce that if you know what I mean.
People would say in this type of organisation, you give down maybe 3-6% any time between retirement, replacement, and so on. But we're higher than normal, and we're finding it hard just to get the recruitment. And it's just an employee's choice at the moment.
Right. Okay. There you go. We heard you reference Jimmy's interview there, talking about, you know, vital projects, and you know that the pace of projects can be really quite frustrating. The 10T is a big one. Just whilst I have you, and we're going to talk much more about the council and its role and all that in the next 25 minutes. But where are we at with that project?
Yeah, 10T, and I absolutely share your view. Big projects take a long time, and they take even longer now in the last few years in terms of the environmental process and the consenting process. And you have to dot every I and cross every T, and they don't get through if you don't. And very frustrating for our own staff and people running those, and particularly so for the general public that see delay after delay. 10T, and we rebranded 10T around about 2008 at the downturn. That just started about 25 years ago, talking about the Bunagee Link and the other roads. So it's a long time in the making. But looking forward where we're at now, we're almost ready to go in for what's called the CPO and the stadia process. We're making more revisions as standards change, we have to update. So that's going through the process now in the summer, and hopefully it'll submit now to and Board Malala in September, and then it goes through their consenting process. And there is no guarantee in terms of their timeline nor the outcome. So that's why we put a lot of stock into getting it right going in, and having all the reviews done on the design, the planning, and the legal process as well, very important. So that'll be completed now, hopefully, in the summer here.
And I'm not sort of connecting you to anything. I'm making this comment, though. I wonder, has the A5 project been delayed perhaps at times because there hasn't been the level of scrutiny or legal checks and all that kind of stuff? Is that why we are continuously seeing successful legal challenges? You can comment on that if you wish, but I presume the idea being that this process ensures that when it's ready to go, it's ready to go and it's passed all the hurdles correctly and conform to everything it should.
Well, yeah, and that's the expectation, Greg, and I wouldn't comment the A5 apart from just absolute disappointment here. As a critical link to the Northwest, as you know, and we're lobbying that for 25 years as well. We also see now on our own in Galway, got stopped in Europe in the last hurdle as well. Mm. So there's a number of ones there. It comes down to judgment. You do absolutely everything you can do, and that's what we're doing. And then you expect the process to carry through.
Do you anticipate that the likes of the TEN-T project, it's a massive scale project, could be undone by climate action plans or what have you?
I think we can't talk that way today.
Yeah,
we're looking to get it done. We need it done for the Northwest. You start talking it down. I think not saying you're talking it down, Greg, but we can't.
No, we'll get exactly where you're coming
from. It's absolutely needed, and regardless of what type of vehicles might be travelling on it in the years to come, it's a needed link. There'll always be transport needed to the Northwest, whether it's food or business and so on, whether it's cars on it or lorries or electric vehicles or buses or whatever. Still need that proper link.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, it's absolutely vital. So it's absolutely has to be done.
Yeah, I mean, we're not sort of building luxury projects here. We're actually trying to catch up. These are essential projects.
These are essential.
Regardless, as you say, of how people, whether it's an ICE engine or an electric vehicle or whatever it might be.
We did modify it over the years to actually take account of climate and the new policies. So you'll find a lot of electric components along it and cycleways and so on now that weren't in the original one, mm-hmm. trying to make it as friendly to the environment as possible.
Yeah, the Chamber also referenced the Market Square. Is that a council-led-out project? And, and you know, they want a date for diggers on the ground. I'm not expecting that from you today, but I think that's the kind of frustration that they have. What is the status there?
Yeah, I don't have the date for the diggers on the ground, but I know it's like a number of ones, Letterkenny. It takes time to work through it. But as I understand, it's fairly close to the Market Square one at the moment.
All right,
a lot of good designs done for it.
Another thing that the challenge that we're facing, and I think we're facing here particularly, is in terms of housing. And the one message I seem to be getting consistently from national government is they believe that councillors need to be doing more to deliver housing. What does that look like? And do you accept that maybe Donegal County Council needs to be doing more to deliver housing?
Yeah, well, it's an interesting take, and I get that as well nationally. Mm. I hear it, and we've been doing that. But the items have been said. For example, we're saying councillors haven't zoned enough land for planning. We've found we've zoned maybe twice as much as we need. In fact, we've been written to actually zone less and directed to zone less, so it doesn't correspond to that national picture. But we have enough land zoned for in terms of the housing at the moment. We're building our target. We were given a target of 800 houses to build for the social housing. We're aiming to get maybe 1,200, 1,500 done in that timeline. So we're ahead. Even though we'd accept, Greg, what's that been ahead? It's still not enough. And housing projects take a long time now as well, and getting them the services, electricity and water and sewer and so on. Big projects now take a long time. Even though this year we're starting to get a decent pipeline in the social housing. But we're seeing really two other things I'd add. The other pathways for housing, what's called cost, rental and affordable and so on, they don't work in Donegal. The model was never intended for Donegal and they don't work. So that's an avenue that's missing for people that perhaps are a little bit above the social housing income.
Why don't they work here?
Just the model, when you look at what's now offered, it does not work.
Okay.
Yeah. Now, the other part I say in Donegal, we need to try and have the private sector activated more for private sector housing. There's very little being built in Donegal at the moment.
Mm.
So it's not just, we need a mix of houses all around the range.
And you do hear from some developers criticism of Donegal County Council and, you know, them sort of saying, well, you know, we want to build houses there, but for various reasons, it's too complicated, or we can't agree on the right price, or there's quibbles. And, you know, we'll just take our money elsewhere.
Yeah, we hear that too. Quite a lot of people are building for us. A lot of the conversation is around price, and we're very conscious of price. We can, as a state body, we don't want to put up the price so high that it drives everything up, and we're held to certain.
I do see, and not talking about any specific cases, because I don't know really off the top of my head what case I might be talking of, but at the end of the day too, I do understand there is a responsibility that the taxpayers' money is spent wisely and not used to sort of rush to deliver a certain amount of units, and then every action has a reaction, and next thing, the cost of everything goes through the roof as well.
No, and that's expected of us, and we have all the national figures, and Donegal have target figures as well, so we try and stick to those within a few percent, and depending on the specifics of particular sites, we make adjustments. But there's no doubt there's a lot of lobbying for more money.
How concerned are you about our sort of infrastructural capacity to build? You know, I mean, the Milford area still is in a hose pipe ban, as they describe it. Irish Water, Ishgairn, has warned about potential shortages in Buncrana, Letterkenny. I think the Twin Towns was Glenty's mentioned, I think. You know, and that's Ishgairn, okay? The council, I mean, works with them, but can't really decide how it spends its money. How big of a challenge is infrastructure in project delivery? Because really, theoretically, can you add another house in Milford if they're already out of money? Now, it's not a literal question, but you know what I mean.
Yeah, no, absolutely. We share that concern. And even Letterkenny, our biggest town here, huge challenge for our social housing schemes, two big schemes. Will we get a water connection or not? Big challenge. A lot of negotiation to do, but Letterkenny, like the other towns, they need massive investments. But I think to look at the positive, for the first time, government's talking about creating a new strand of funding for Irish Water to build those gaps. There's lots of pipework missing Letterkenny, for example. Other towns the same, so there's no capacity. And then it's very difficult to understand, even for the public, that us as a public body looking to build public housing, Irish Water, another public body funded by the same department, and yet we could be building houses that difficult to get a water connection or sewer connections. That needs to come together. And needs more investment.
Yeah, because running alongside that too, there are, aren't they, sort of, I've seen documents in the past talking about the potential population of Letterkenny, but I mean, that's just a pipe dream if you don't have the homes and the infrastructure for them.
Yeah, no, it's a good example. Letterkenny, we need to develop south of the river. That needs massive investment to get it going, both the bridges and the roads, the water and sewer and broadband and so on, to allow the first house to be economically built. And that's what we need for Letterkenny to grow. And so far it has a we have been able to get that type of investment.
One other thing on housing just for now. Are you frustrated at the lack of progress in a scheme to deal with defective concrete block affected social housing?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely.
Do we know what the choke point is there?
No, we always think we do, but the reality is we actually thought we would have a scheme 3 years ago. And it gets pushed off and pushed off. And meanwhile, houses are getting worse and worse and more frustration builds up. We have a number of houses boarded up that make our figures look very bad in terms of houses underutilised in Donegal. But it is what it is in that regard.
All right, OK, so, that's interesting because, you know, say, for instance, I think it was Aintu, they did a freedom of information and it identifies how many social homes are not in use. Our figures are going to be skewed because some of those are DCB-affected homes that are unlivable. And you can't go in and turn them around in 10 weeks.
Yeah. No, we have reported that because of those figures. There's a block there that's boarded up. Yeah. There's also a block was put in there as unused ones. There are new houses not rented yet. And then there's the ones there, the routine ones.
Okay. Do we need to do more to turn around houses that, you know, people move out of or become vacant? Or what's our turnaround figure like?
Yeah. I think we can always do better.
Yeah.
It depends on the circumstances. You know, there's a lot of things at play there. If a house is in reasonable condition, turn around very quickly. But if you want to do a wholesale deep retrofit and repair everything, it takes much longer.
Okay. The council then, talk to us about maybe some of the work the 1,200 odd staff and the authority as a sort of unit does that maybe is not quite as commonly known or widely reported.
Yeah, well, I suppose I think the press really talked about over 1,000 services. Most people are familiar with roads, and then roads is one broad heading, but there's several things, you know, from a road maintenance, the LASs, the other active travel we do, range of roads, housing, same thing. A lot for housing estates, tenants, so on. With the tidy towns, for example, and environment, a lot of push environment out, biodiversity. We have a biodiversity officer for the first time. A lot of work on climate action, climate change, and trying to do something within the council and to bring the wider public along there as well. And that's a long scale journey. We run the coroner service, for example. We pay through that. We had the vets up until Christmas for the food safety. We handled the dog warden service, for example. Regeneration, you mentioned the Letterkenny one. We're doing that all around the county now. Recently, we were involved in the integration for the new visitors to Ireland and given different roles overnight there. We handled the major emergency, for example, Storm Owen. Excuse me, we're told on a Sunday night, stand up humanitarian centres. We hadn't done. We were told to get them up tomorrow, and we did it, along with the help from the public. So we get called on a short notice sometimes as well, as an arm of government, the local government.
Yeah, there's a lot going on there, isn't there?
Yeah,
and the fire service. Did you mention the fire service?
Didn't mention fire service, yeah. Well, they're part of the emergency service, Always called on, So, yeah, we were there yesterday. We got Council of the Year, end of last year.
Well, that's it. I was going to say that because, you know, like, I do see time and again the local authority getting national recognition for the work that it's doing in Donegal.
No, and we're very proud of that, in fairness, and everybody should be, even though at times we come under a lot of criticism for what we're not doing. We're doing a lot of good things, and that's a group nationally looking at Donegal. It's the first time we ever got it out of 31 local authorities, and we got two back-to-back there at the end of last year, so we're very pleased with that.
You can't respond to everything that's said or try and sort of, you know, fix every perception, but a lot of people contact this show very angry at Donegal County Council about water leaks. Yeah, but that's Iscairn's responsibility now, isn't it?
Yeah, it is. And water leaks historically very high. Almost half the water leaked in the country.
Yeah, so, and it still is high up here, so as well, high, too, which so it's is crazy.
He's a massive investment.
Yeah. I'll ask this, I don't know if you can comment on specific projects. Hi, Greg, why is there a big new, we were talking about housing, why is there a big new council house estate lying empty in Carndonagh? It must have been completed 2 or 3 years ago.
Yeah, the operative word there, it's not a council estate. There was negotiations there, which broke down.
And this referenced what we talked about a little bit earlier.
Yeah.
And you, the council happened to stand its ground on cost, really.
Yeah, that's it. Yeah, and we've made our best and final offer there, and that one is an example. And we wanted those houses, they initially would have been built for us, but it broke down, and there comes a point where you have to say, well, look, you have to move on.
You have to walk
then
away.
We've built other houses in Carndonagh that are under construction right now.
Okay. Please ask John, has he jobs for the LA staff that aren't moving over to Irish Water? They're telling LA staff that we have no jobs to fit their grade.
No, that sounds like one of our employees. It's not a choice we have. We're obligated. They're currently our employees, so they have to be kept on if they want to stay. So that's no problem. And we have jobs. We're trying to fit them in as best we can. Now, people with a lot of experience in water, it might not always be a natural fit. And a lot of them are going to the road service, which is mostly correspond. But some have moved, and some are applying, and actually turning us down as well. But it'll be mixed. That'll run on at the end of next year.
I think when you have any large group of staff, change is difficult.
Yes.
Even in here, you know what I mean? We had a recent change of CEO, and we know Sean, and Sean's great, but there is always a bit of a, you know what I mean? There's an unsettling feeling until everything settles down.
Yes. No, if you know what I mean. I could liken your change. I see we have a new council every 5 years or some new council. So that's a change as well. And we have changes every day, and we get changes from the government and through our own staff to bring in someone new. Takes time, and not everyone likes it.
Yeah, of course. Where do you see the future of local authorities? Like, Have they enough power or enough authority? Do you have any personal views about sort of, you know, where we're at or where we were or where you'd like to see us go?
Yeah, well, Ireland, a very centralised structure. You know, it's largely ran from Dublin, and that's well recognised. Interesting enough, the programme of government has a new local democracy, what's the right word, ambition, and that's currently been set up to look at that, to examine what should be done local, what's central. But it's, I think, to actually have decisions locally, you have to have some money to spend as well locally, enough to make the decisions. Otherwise, if you're depending on the money coming from a central government, then it lessens your power. We are probably one of the fewer representatives locally than some other countries in Europe. But overall, it generally works, the system, even though people say more and this and one do that. And then, of course, sometimes when you get local powers, you have to take some tough decisions as well. There's a mix there.
But yeah, and of course, too, the sort of internal revenue income, be it, you know, I suppose business rates or local property tax, and there are, well, presumably other sort of income revenues, but they're the ones that get all the attention then, don't they, when it comes round? Because you sort of say, you set your budgets up and say, look, this is what we have to achieve or what we want to achieve. This is how much we can sort of rely on from Dublin. This is how much we have to raise. And those small areas that you have opportunity to raise and become very, very, you know, we focus on them and they become very controversial.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Those small areas would never fund Donegal. Let's be realistic, yeah. And all counties outside the Dublin sphere are relatively, you know, find it hard to fund themselves. Maybe Cork City. So we're always dependent on central government supports. And that's the way our centralised system takes about the tax. The taxes are all taken into the centre and they're divvied out.
Mm-hmm.
So it's a control as well.
What do you do for fun, John?
Well, yes. I know.
How long is your term now? What? I should know this. But
yeah, well, my contract for 7 years and okay. Then there's option.
So you're like the president?
Yeah, well, I don't know if I'm like the president, but the contract for 7 years, then there's an option to extend for 3. Generally, that's the rules. Yeah. You can never stay longer than 10 years, and these are all now by law.
And how long are you in now for?
I'm in actually, interesting enough, it's 5 years in July, but the first 6 months was temporary, so 4.5 of 7.
Okay, and is it too early to say whether you feel you need the 10 to get the work done that you need to do?
I think it wouldn't be an announcement of making Highland Radio today.
Why not?
Yeah, I think there's a process for that, how that gets done, Greg.
Probably starts at home.
Yes.
Starts at home and then outside the home. Yes. So what do you do in your own time?
Yeah, no, I like go hiking and walking and actually have inherited a farm at home as well. So I do a little bit of part-time farming at home as well. And, limited now because of the job. But yeah, and travel.
Yeah, and hiking, walking around the county, obviously. Yeah, do you travel with groups? I didn't realise there's a few different people around the place, so you chat to them. They take walking very, very seriously, and, it's so social as well. Some people like to do it on their own, others get with groups and head around the place.
I connect with family, usually, go away with others, but not in hiking groups.
Yeah.
But some wonderful places to go in Donegal.
Where's your favourite?
Well, we recently did the one at Orris, which I hadn't done completely, and then not too far from myself. Yes, and then you've League and Eric is a good one to do now with the steps, makes it much more accessible. So loads of places, even down your own area there in the south. Then I go
We've got our own stuff going on there. But isn't that the thing about this county, John? Wherever you go, you could make a very legitimate argument for being the nicest part of the county, if that makes sense. It's different, and it's the people are the same, but they're different everywhere you go. It's the most amazing county, I think, in that regard.
Yeah. No, and I was away in the US for 13 years. When I came back, I could see that better, actually, when you return.
Took a step away from it.
Yeah, and you see everywhere's good, in fairness. And I'd say it's true also, even, it shouldn't be saying, but even all the west of Ireland, there's spectacular places all along
100%. But the reason I'm a bit hamstrung is I haven't really probably did the deep dive into that I perhaps should have.
Yeah.
I mean, the whole west coast is wonderful.
But what makes the difference, I think, is the people as well. And so we're still a friendly people with a friendly disposition. You could talk to people in small towns and so on without feeling afraid or any of those things. And that wouldn't happen everywhere. And when you go overseas, sometimes just a different mindset on that.
Right, okay. Listen, John, thanks very much for joining us. Tomorrow, how can people celebrate it? I suppose, as they say, we often hear the descending voices or dissenting voices, but there's lots of people have good things to say about the council. You can do so on social media using the hashtag YourCouncilDay. Presume your teams are going to be at that.
Our team are pushing out on our social medias, starting early tomorrow, and some of our stories from our municipal districts, what people are doing. I try to get a flavour for those things that are a bit further away as well, and what people are doing. So it's intended to shine a good light, obviously, in the council, but for our own community, it should feel positive about that as well, what's going on. And I just say as a final, we're spending $200 million every year in a revenue budget in Donegal. That probably reaches every parish. Some people don't even know that kind of money creates an economy in itself. And then on top of that, we have a massive capital program of almost $2 billion over the next 4 years. So lots of money spent, and I think lots of impact. Some people look at the council only because of maybe what you enforcement and so on, or planning, or things you don't get. But there's lots of other, we affect people lots of other ways, from the playgrounds, the parks and everything else, and arts and culture.
Yeah, and engaging with the diaspora, promoting tourism, the list goes on and on.
Yeah.
All right, John, listen, it's been lovely having you in. Thank you very much indeed.
Thank you, Greg.
That is John McLaughlin, Chief Executive of Donegal County Council.